Blog Talk Radio.
Yeah, yeah. A-Dream in the building. Shout out to Bree.
What up, Bree?
And we finna go in. Look.
Yes, sir.
Look. We came to break down a few topics here. So if you got time, sit and acknowledge it. It's positive, uplifting, and honest here. Keep your ears open and soaking all the words spoken. A couple of jokes to keep it fun, get your laugh on. And maybe a few pointers to get your cash on. See Bree, she all about building. Straight up out the NY, Brooklyn in the building. All the way down to the southern states. West Coast on up to the Great Lakes. So you fragging echoes, so if you ain't fragile. Through the net connection, we streaming you to Mexico.
So welcome to the life of Bree. Breaking down relationships to the third degree.
This is the Bree life, what you live in life.
Welcome to the Bree life,
how we live in life.
From politics to the current events, economics to race, whether you're poor or you're rich.
This is the Bree life, what you live in life.
Welcome to the Bree life,
how we live in life.
Coming to you live and streaming to all four points of the globe. It's your girl, Brooklyn born and Crown Heights raised. Living life and breathing life. It's Bree, baby.
Peace and blessings. You've reached the Bree Life Radio Show. And this Thursday, and you know what we do on Thursdays, we freestyle. We are going to have a very interesting show tonight. Because we freestyle and we offer our listeners a platform to speak from their heart, to say what's on their mind, I am opening up the lines at 424-220-1862. That number again is 424-220-1862. I'm opening up the lines for you to either respond to an incident that happened on one of the shows that I produce on Tuesdays, Relationship Extra. I've been receiving a lot of emails, text messages, phone calls, a lot of phone calls in particular, to reference two comments that was made. One of the things I want to say about Bree Life Radio is that, and I've been saying it from the very beginning, we offer a platform to provoke peripheral thought and provocative conversation. A lot of our conversations tend to be provocative. I like to promote provocative conversations, but I also like it to be fun and like the forum of dialogue to be respectful so that all participants feel comfortable in engaging in conversation. I never like for anyone, especially myself, to be made to feel uncomfortable or unwelcome. So having said that, I have the good fortune tonight to be joined by a very dear friend of mine. We went to school together, and he is going to act as my co-host for the first hour. It's none other than Brother Alvin from BK.
Peace and blessings. Peace and blessings. Good evening. Good evening. Peace and blessings, Crown Heights. How you doing, sister?
I am blessed and highly favored, and I am feeling great. A lot of wonderful things are happening for Bree Life Radio.
Amen.
And I'll be sharing that with the listeners in days to come. So, Alvin, this is not your first Freestyle Thursday, but this is definitely the first time that you are a guest co-host. And being the first guest co-host, I am going to, well, not the first co-host, but being that this is your first time co-hosting with me, I want to allow you to start the show with your first freestyle, but I want the listeners to also remember that they can follow Bree Life Radio on Facebook at Bree Life Radio. You can also follow me at Twitter, at Bree Life Radio. Of course, at blogtalkradio.com / Bree Life. And for those who have my personal Facebook information, you know how to reach me. Usually, as you probably also know, Alvin, on South Thursdays, we open the platform now with a song, and it is the Brooklyn National Anthem, Love is the Message. So we're going to do that. We're going to do that now, and we are going to dedicate that, of course, to all of our Crown Heights peeps. So, and you know what? Let's expand that dedication. Let's dedicate Love is the Message to all of the people who have been subject to Hurricane Sandy.
Amen.
This was not a there was devastation, and we lost about 20 people's lives due to the hurricane. So, you know, we want to just give a big warm Crown Heights blessings to all those that have lived through the hurricane, and we're thinking about you. Love is the Message. And we're back. It's the Bree Life Radio Show. It's Freestyle Thursdays, and we're about to go all in. And I'm being joined with my brother Alvin
tonight
as my co-host for the first hour. Peace and blessings, oh, Alvin. Again.
Peace and blessings. Always so good to be next to you, my queen. Always. The spirit is always right. Always right.
Bye-bye.
Every time I feel the love every time. You know, you played the right song tonight. You know, every time you play that, I sit there, I listen, and it's the right message. It's the right message.
Doesn't it make you feel warm and fuzzy? And also, doesn't it remind you of growing up at Crown Heights?
Yeah, I mean, I can't
hear that song and not think of something fun that I did. Like, I remember playing Skelly in the middle of the street with the Lace Eyes and the and the Reddish Brothers on Carroll Street where I grew up. Or I remember being on Crown Street in the summertime playing spades with Mark and Anthony and Sherwin DeShong and Roy Nichols. I remember my brother and my cousin Glenn, who were martial artists, and they ran the PAL program at Mega Evers in the summertime.
Mm-hmm.
And I had to, because I'm also a martial artist, I had to be there. And usually all of my friends that I went to school with and that we went to school with at 161 and Leffitt's, of course, in the neighboring areas, 320, 391, mm-hmm. IS 61, all those schools, the kids would go to Mega Evers for the PAL summer program. You remember that?
Yeah, I remember that.
Yeah. That's what, and without, one of my biggest memories, of course, when I hear Love is the Message, two other things I think of in particular, and I know it's near and dear to all of us who grew up in Crown Heights, and that's going to Empire Roller Skating Ring. Because usually when they put the Message on, that was like, a song to let you know that the skating session was coming to an end.
Mm-hmm.
That was usually the last song of the skating session. So I remember that, and I also remember I was in the youth group at St. Mark's Church on Union Street. And every year they had an annual youth organization dance. And I remember the very first one that I was allowed to go to when I was 15 years old. And I even remember who my date was. Who shall remain nameless today? Oh, my goodness.
But we supposed to go all in. We want to know.
I think I'm going to allow myself.
I'm just teasing.
To keep that one under the hat. There's so much about myself that I share with the listeners. You know, I disclose with the listeners. This one, I think I'm just going, keep
pass
under my baseball cap tonight.
Right. No, that's cool.
I'm wearing
that's
a pink baseball, a New York Yankees baseball cap tonight.
Oh, you looking fine. Oh, you fly girl.
Oh,
nice.
Stop it.
Hey, listen. I one thing I won't do. You know, I might have did it when I was younger. One thing I won't do now is lie, and that's gotten me in trouble. And I get so I'm gonna keep telling the truth.
Well, thank you. Truth is always the truth. Yeah, of course, with the Bree Life Radio Show, we like to hear the truth. We just got to make sure that the messenger gives us the truth in a way that the listeners will be receptive to. Can I get an amen?
And I said, amen. I had a flashback. I had a flashback about the show a day ago.
Before we get into your freestyle, because I can tell you bite at the bit to want to get to this freestyle. But, you know, usually what we do, Alvin, just so you know, at the beginning of the show, the beginning of the freestyle show, we do something which is, I call it housekeeping. And there's a couple of things that I want to do. First thing I want to do, I want to just send a heartfelt, you know, peace and love out to everyone that has been subject and has been victimized by this horrible hurricane. You see the aftermath of the destruction. I've been watching the news pretty much all day. I've been watching it for 4 days straight. And just to see the aftermath of what this hurricane did to our metro area, unbelievable. So there are so many people that, as Barry Schneider last night, who happens to be the assistant deputy director of the Human Resources Administration here in New York, she was on our show last night, and she was talking about her work that she was doing in the shelters all day yesterday. It's just heart-wrenching to know that there are so many people now that have been displaced as a result of this hurricane. So, you know, we at Bree Life, we just want to let you know that we're thinking about you. Our prayers and thoughts are with you, and we hope that the necessary resources get to you in an expedient fashion so that you can resume some semblance of normalcy. I mean, you know, when you lose everything, you never really go back to your previous state, you know. But at least I hope that the local municipalities, government agencies are reaching out expediently to these people to help them regain some sense of stability and to find a new sense of home to help rebuild and everything that they need to do in order to achieve that. So I just want to give a shout out for that. I also want to send a birthday shout out to one of my Facebook friends and Bree Life Radio listeners, Kizzy Hutchinson. Today is her birthday, and I just want to send you a birthday shout out. Also, as you know, Alvin, last night we had a very talented and just a very loving and passionate panel last night. When I say loving and passionate, you have to, if you are going to decide to be to take up the profession of social work, you genuinely have to care about the condition of people. And we had several people on our panel last night who work in the area of social work. Again, Barry Schneider, she's the Assistant Deputy Director of the Human Resources Administration Department of Social Services here in New York City. We also had Aaliyah Holland, who is the founder and program director of an organization called HEAL, H-E-A-L. We had Diana Ali. She is a public service and domestic violence advocate. And we had Kenneth Chamberlain Jr., who is a, what would you say Kenneth is? I would say he's a civil rights activist. For social justice. He was here on our show last night talking about his own personal feelings about our topic last night, which was healing for the holidays and being able to forgive and to let go. He lost his father in a very violent act against him last year around this time. His father was killed by New York City police officers. And when you deal with loss, especially loss in such a violent manner, it's very difficult to heal. It's not impossible, but it's a challenge. And the work that he's doing on behalf of his father's memory and in the organization that he's founded for social justice, that's a tool to assist with healing. Also, we had Mark in Houston, Texas, who is my guest co-host, and he will be joining. I'm sorry, he'll be joining us sometime this evening for the freestyle to share whatever his freestyle is going to be. I'm sure it'll be interesting. Mark has worked many years in the social services area, so he chimed in and gave his 4 cents and added to the dialogue, which was very appreciated. And, of course, my co-host, Red, who will be joining us at the 10 o'clock hour. So, I want to thank all of them for, you know, just participating in the dialogue, being very candid and open about their experiences. And I'm just so very thankful that, especially during the storm, because all of these people, with the exception of Mark, live in the tri-state area. They live in the New, as a matter of fact, they live in the New York City and Long Island. Diana lives in Long Island. So everyone has been, all of us have been somewhat touched by the storm, directly or indirectly. And in lieu of that, they took out the time to be on the show, so we thank them for that. Also, let's see. I'm not freestyling until after 10 o'clock, so I ask that the listeners just hang on tight. And hang on tight for us. I will be freestyling at 10 o'clock. So without further ado, I'm going to turn the mic over to Alvin, who has his own freestyle for this evening.
I do.
I mean, I know there's a couple of things you want to talk about, and, you know, you feel free. Just jump right on in.
Because it's just, I don't know, it just behooves me, certain things, you know. I mean, it's a few things. One of my things is this thing, you know, I guess I can say it's between man and woman, where, you know, man and woman have been at each other's throats like forever, good and bad. But when it's good, meaning concerning the heart, when a man wants a woman, he would do anything to get her. And not just, you know, for sexual whatever, you know, to be with her. Mm-hmm. Nowadays, I'm finding it just strange that it's now a comparison of how, you know, I want to chase her, but I want to keep my money in the pocket at the same time. It's just weird. It's just strange to me because, you know, and it's not just the money. It's, you know, well, what are you going to do? Just share a newspaper with her in Central Park? Like, you know, just things, it's just strange things like that. Like I've been observing, because, you know, me personally, I don't care. I guess this is from the other night when we was talking on the show, you know, 2 nights ago. It just, some things was just like, you know, just moved me. Like, it was just, you know, I couldn't get it that I'm like, I understand if, you know, brother, you want to be cheap with your money, however it goes. But I never understood that when you're courting a woman, I thought there were certain things that you would know as a man that you would have to do. Like, you know, if you want to be with her, you know, it's just, I don't understand it where, you know, I mean, it's not about the money, but I'm just like, how do you not
say
anything?
Let me interject. Are you referencing the email that I got about the woman who was dating the guy for 6 months and they broke up and
yeah.
he asked her back for
yeah.
the money that
yeah.
he gave her?
Exactly.
Oh, okay.
And he wanted it back. I'm like, after 6 months, how could your mind even be on something you gave? Like, what is that? You know, it's like, that's just like, I'm like, wow. That just shows me how out of touch we are with each other when it comes mm-hmm. to, because it used to be, you know, all the way back from the civil rights movement, when you was with a woman, y'all were together, no matter what. Now it's like so many differences. Like, I don't understand where all these differences. I don't know whether it's from Hollywood, too much TV, music videos. I don't know what influences all of this. Because when you fall for a woman, you know, and you want to be with her, I thought you always wanted to show her that you would stand up for her, no matter what. You know, but it's like nowadays it's not like that no more. It's like, you know, romance is corny, which I don't understand that either. Because how could you not have romance? And, you know, I don't understand it. I'm trying to see where this world is going with all of this. You
well,
know, not even.
Before you continue, I just want to remind our listeners that they can also, if they would like, they can also join us in the chat room at blogtalkradio.com/Bree Life, and just click on the chat room link, and you can talk to me in the chat room. I'm sorry, Alvin.
No, it's fine. I just, you know, because it's still spinning in my head. It's like I'm getting rocked from it. You know, even though I'm in a relationship, you know, and it's good. You know, we have a good understanding. It's just, when I hear things from the outside, you know, it's just, you know, I don't know. I thought there were certain things that's supposed to happen when you, especially if you want the woman to like you and respect you. You know, I thought you'd have to do certain things to, you know, to make that love come alive. I'm a little lost. I'm a little lost. Like,
well, I'm sure that woman was a little lost and greatly surprised when her ex-boyfriend asked her back for money that he never stated he was loaning to her in the first place. But, you know, that just goes to, that just gives you a clear understanding that communication is so very important. Because here's my thing, if you give me something, or if there's something that I need money for and you give it to me and we're in a relationship together and then we break up and you ask me back for the money, I mean, first of all, it wasn't a gift. If it wasn't a gift at the time that you were putting it in my hand, you should have clearly stated that I need a promissory note or I'm going to need this money back at a certain period, in a certain period of time, because I have to take this money and do something else with it. I mean, just, you know, I have a saying. I've been saying it for about 20 years now, and that is straight talk makes for clearer understanding. Mm-hmm. And when you speak straight and when you talk clearly to an individual, there's no room for you both to have a misunderstanding. Even if you have
right.
to repeat yourself once or twice, you make it clear that this is not a gift. This
right.
money is not a gift. This is a loan, and I need it back by this date.
But if I'm dating you, how can I say that to you? If
listen,
I'm dating you.
And all men are not like you, Alvin. And you know what? And I told you on the first show that you joined us on that if I could just come over there and take a hair follicle, I would be a rich woman. I wouldn't need to do a Bree Life Radio fundraiser because I would be rich.
however many times and I do whatever, and then okay, we have a disagreement, we about to break up, I don't call her back and say, yo, you know, how about that, you know, I need all that back from when we were, you know, when I was feeding you.
Now that's tacky.
I'm just saying.
Well, you know what, we are being joined tonight by another caller, and that's actually a guest host. It's Mark in Houston, Texas. He wants to freestyle, so we're going to allow him to do that. Peace.
Hey, what's going on? What's happening?
Peace, Mark.
What's going on, Al?
Same thing.
Yeah, I'm
trying to get some understanding.
Well, I don't know. I mean, I'm listening to you. I'm kind of, I don't know. Maybe I just think all over the place. I mean, I think all over the place.
Oh, that.
So, you know, that's my thing, because I probably think all over. Because when I hear what you're saying, it don't surprise me. It's not, because see, first of all, I think either you all are not pointing out what to me is the obvious in that scenario with the situation with the money, or maybe I'm just like, wow, you know, I don't know. But you are, so what are you're surprised, Alvin, that he wants the money back. Why is that?
No, because I'm just saying that if you know, not just in that situation, but anybody that would ask for the money back after you've been dating a sister or whoever, I can't see you. I can't see that. Like what?
Okay,
what part?
So you couldn't see that. You couldn't see that.
I can't see that.
Okay. All right. So let me tell you what I think. This is my theory on these kind of situations. Number one, I if I got more information on the relationship, I would find out that maybe he didn't want it to be over.
Okay.
See, to me, this is not about money.
No, I don't get that. Could you roll that tape back, please? He did not want it to be over. That's why he made such a callous statement. We're going to have to talk about, I know you're mad at me, but
okay,
we're going to have to talk about this money.
No, wait a minute. She's on her way. She out, right? She out. She's done, right?
Yeah.
Okay, he's happy about her being done. Or the relationship being over, yes or no?
I don't know.
Okay,
I'm not there.
But my thing is, the money should have been done when the money was spent.
No. It's not about, okay, stop, y'all. Stop. This is simple. This ain't about no money. This is not about money.
It ain't?
No. By no
he
means,
asked
by
for
no
it.
Means.
It's not.
Yeah.
It has
why
to be.
He asking for it? You know why he's asking for it? Because, number one, let me tell you something. I don't know the scenario. I have no idea. But 9 times out of 10, if he's asking for that money,
let me bring
back,
that email
asking,
up.
Huh?
Let me bring it up.
Okay. I'm just saying he's probably asking for the money back as a swipe at her, because he didn't want this to be over with. See, they were, as long as they were in a relationship, he wasn't asking for it. So now that they broke up, he's asking for it because he don't want it to be over with. I can guarantee you, if he was casting her out because he didn't want to be bothered with her anymore, he probably could care less. But this is one of those stab, swipe, swing, last ditch, you know, make a statement at you because I'm pissed at you. I'm hurt by you.
Ready? Are you both ready?
I'm ready.
Dear Bree, what I'm writing to you today, I'd like you to share with your listeners. I recently broke up with a man that I had been dating for 6 months. We had challenges in our relationship, but I still thought that we might make it. Well, I've been disappointed, and I just want to say, leaving his house the day that I came to pick up all of my belongings, I could not believe the last words that came out of his mouth. We never had a big blowout, drag-out argument, but he waited to the very last moment to be confrontational with me. You see, he was borrowing my vehicle to go backwards and forwards to work a couple of times a week. When my car experienced problems. He gave me money to repair some of the problems that the car was experiencing. What is that noise?
Not me.
Okay. Where was I? When I was about to leave and said goodbye, he looked at me and said, "I know you're mad at me, but at some point we are going to have to talk about the money that I gave you." And in asterisks, okay, she puts "gave you" to repair your car.
Okay.
Now, looked at him and said,
"We don't have enough information. We don't have enough background."
I turned around and looked at him and said, "We don't need to have a conversation. The conversation is over, just like our relationship. If this was not a loan, you should have stated that the moment you put the money in my hand. How dare you now ask me, as I'm walking out the door and have ended our relationship, for your money back?"
Trifling.
Okay, wait a minute, stop. So that's what I'm saying. It's not enough information there because I don't know. All I hear is right there. He said, "I know you're mad at me." So I don't know why would she be mad. It's got to be some stuff going on that we don't know about, and I can promise you.
Well, they broke up,
but
obviously.
Hear what I'm saying. If I'm going to put it like this. I can promise you, if I was really an unhappy person, and I really did not want that relationship to end, and a lot of people do stuff. Folks do stuff when they ain't happy about some stuff when it comes to a relationship, and they usually want to try to take it out on that other person.
So if I love this woman, I'm not going to ask her for no money. I'm going to ask her to come back. The last thing on my mind is some money fixing a car.
So let me suggest this. I don't know the scenario, but I'm saying that conversation already been had. He can't get her back now. She already said it ain't. It's done.
Then he moved on to the money.
See? You see that? That's my point. He moves on to the money because now he's like, all right, cool. So you ain't going to let me have the relationship back. I want my money. Now, is it a bitch move? Yeah, it's a bitch move. But it's a last-ditch effort because I'm hurt and I'm pissed. So it's that little boy came out in him because he hurt. He's hurt because you're right. If I'm not hurt and I'm okay and I understand, I really don't want the relationship to be over with, but I understand it's over with, I ain't going there. I'm not going to go there. You see it in divorces all the time. You see what happens in divorces all the time. Stuff that don't even make a – you want this, I want – what are we doing? It's feelings. And when emotions get involved, you use what you can use, whatever weapons you can use. Money is a weapon in a sense. And he's utilizing that. But see, I get that. I don't think it's cool. I understand what kind of move it is, but it is what it is. He's feeling. That's feelings. He's striking out at the woman. And he utilized money. People do it all the time. You know how you see parents have done that to kids sometimes where they say, when a kid gets older, let's say college or whatever, and they don't want to do something, they'll withhold money or they'll withhold this or they'll do it because they're making their power moves. Because they're letting them know what's going on because they don't like what the other person is doing. People use money like that all the time. This is nothing but that. I can guarantee you probably.
That's what I'm saying. That's a shame. That's a shame.
It is. But wait a minute. When a man is hurt, if he's really hurt, you don't never, come on, man. You know what?
I've been through heartbreaks, and I spent thousands of dollars. I've been on a lot of dates that some were good, some were bad, some were terrible. But the last thing out of all of that was I turned around and, give me my money. That's what I'm trying to figure out, that right there.
What we're
going to
do right now, I see that there's a caller from the 443 area code. We're going to bring them on because it's Freestyle Thursday, baby. Peace and blessings. You've reached the Bree Life Radio Show. It's Freestyle Thursdays. And what's your name, where you're calling from, and what is your freestyle?
Okay, what's up, Bree? How you doing? My name is Privilege, Mr. Privilege, first and foremost, before we get into anything, I'd like to address the man that has been quite disrespectful to you. You know, what is it? He got a thing for you? I'm trying to figure this out. Why this guy always got something slick to say out his mouth? Is he a
Wait, hold on a second.
Who's he talking about?
Hey, hold on. Mr. You said your name is Mr. Privilege?
Yes.
And where are you calling from?
I'm calling from Maryland. I'm calling from Bowie, Maryland.
Bowie, Maryland. Okay, baby. Are you referring to the incident on Tuesday's Relationship Extra show?
Of course I am.
Okay.
I'm trying to figure out what's the problem. You know, it's like he's just throwing daggers at you. You know what I'm saying? What is this guy? He might be a stalker or something. I'm trying to figure this out. I wish this guy would call up now so I could find out, you know, what's his problem? Why he got so much hatred up in his mind, you know, slick words he got saying out his mouth. I really like to know this guy's story. Why is he acting like that?
Okay. Here's the thing, Mr. Privilege. Firstly, I want to thank you for supporting the Bree Life Radio Show. And I want to also thank you for, because I feel like my people out there, they're listening and they're concerned about me and they come back. I assure you that this individual is not a stalker. He's a man with some very strong opinions, most of which I don't always agree on. The title of the show that evening was I'm Not the Messenger. And the debate that evening was about, the debate that I was having with him is that he certainly is not the messenger, because in order for a message to be received and retained and for a person to want to do something about a behavior that you may be expressing to them about, you have to deliver the message in a way that someone will be receptive to it. Excuse me. Unfortunately, most of the time, this individual his delivery sucks, to say the least. I mean, that's the best way that I could put it. I have received a lot of phone calls and a lot of text messages about this particular topic. And I understand there are a lot of people that out there that are dismayed because they've heard not only on that show on Tuesday, but they remember a show this past summer, where he made a very inappropriate statement. And I believe it might have been on a Freestyle Thursday show. And people were offended, especially women. A lot of women were offended by what he said. And I am not. Because trust me, I do not support bad behavior. So I hear what you're saying, and I'm going to let you continue. But I just wanted to give you a little background. And this person, of course, and I know people have heard it before, he and I have been friends for about 41 years.
And this guy is actually a friend, and he has so much slick, disrespectful things to say out of his mouth? That's crazy. That's crazy to me. Because he gets on the show. I don't do too much talk, first and foremost, you know what I'm saying? I like to listen. That way I get a clear understanding of every conversation that's going on, every topic that's going on. But I just happen to, he just stood out. You understand where I'm coming from? And I can't even think clearly to go past this issue right now with this cat. Like, I'm really trying to figure out, like, I mean, what's the problem with this dude? You know what I'm saying? Like, is it hatred or what? you know, because it's crazy. I don't understand him at all.
Well, Alvin, you're my co-host, and this is our brother-at-arms, Mr. Privilege. If there's something you want to chime in?
Peace, Brother Privilege. You know, for what I can hear from Brother Privilege is this is unacceptable, you know, and it shows that, you know, when people say something and they're just talking and talking and talking and saying whatever, and they think people are really listening to you, whether they say something or not. But for this brother to call in and say, listen, you know, that shows the, you know, because at the end of the day, you know, and I wanted to allude to that too. Where's the respect for our women? You know,
exactly.
We're supposed to be fighting for our women. You know, I mean, look at our history. When we sat on the throne, they sat on the throne with us. When we went to war, they went to war with us. So where does it end? How did it turn into a war? It almost like it's us versus them when we're supposed to be together? Because during that diaspora, when we came to America, they was with us there too. So how did we get over here? Where did that change at? Because, Bri, I know you. I've known you for years, and you always been an upright sister. Always. I've known you for a long time. So with this brother calling in saying that just gives it more strength that I know I'm not wrong, you know, how I think about you. Because, you know, but it's not a good thing. You know, that all of that has to change. I don't know whether that brother has to change himself or whatever, because the show was I Am Not the Messenger. And if I'm glad he's not the messenger, because if it's coming across like that, I don't want you putting that message across. And I'm a man too. I don't want you speaking for me.
Exactly.
You know, it has to change. You know, but from what I'm gathering from the brother that called in, it's not acceptable. Even to the ones that didn't call in, it's not acceptable.
It definitely isn't, brother. You understand where I'm coming from? And for this individual to carry on in such a manner, you know, and you're a grown man, I'm assuming that he's a grown man. You understand where I'm coming from? But his actions are that of a child, as far as I'm concerned.
Okay, wait a minute. This just in. I just received a text from Alex, and he said he's listening, and can someone please say what comments offended them? I'm not calling in. I'll address that.
I said he wouldn't call in, and I don't have to tell him what comments offended him. He should already know.
Okay.
He should really take a look at himself on a whole. I'm not here to tell you about your mistakes. You're a grown man. So, therefore, you need to take the time out, Alex, and look at yourself and think about all your mistakes. Nobody's perfect. I'm not going to sit here and talk on this show like I'm the perfect dude. Everybody makes mistakes, but the things that come out your mouth, you know what I'm saying, to me are degrading to sisters, and I don't like that at all, not one bit.
Well, Mr. Privilege, if I could just finish reading his text message.
I'm sorry.
He said, I'm not going to call in. I'll address this at the beginning of Tuesday's show. It's his right not to call in. And he doesn't have to. What why I'm doing this is because this is the Bri Life Radio Network, and I'm producing not just my show. I'm also producing Relationship Extra, and there are other shows that are coming on the network. And as the executive producer of the network, I have to take responsibility for everything that is said on the shows that exist on my network. Even though that particular show I was present for and the comment happened with me. There's another reason why I'm telling you, I've gotten so many overwhelming calls, text messages. Facebook is lighting up right now. If I may take a screenshot of my Facebook page, because my Facebook friends are also listening to the show, and they listen to Tuesday's show, and they listen to some. They listened to the show this past summer, and that I confronted Alex on. We've had several conversations in the past about this. Again, I'm not coddling inappropriate dialogue or behavior. I'm also one person's mother, and his name happens to be Glenn, and I love him very much. And that's one of the that's another reason why we're having this discussion tonight, because my 15-year-old son supports Bree Life Radio, and he was listening.
Oh,
and
wow.
Yes. And
yeah,
he was,
wow, that's,
and he was very upset. He was listening with his friends because he's out of school this week, of course. And, you know, even though some of the topics he's not really interested in, but he understands that listening helps his mom's ratings. So he and several of his friends were all on their smartphones and laptops and iPad devices in his room, and they were listening to the show. And because my son isn't an urban kid, he didn't grow up in the urban neighborhood, he's more a suburban kid, he didn't really understand what the term, and I'm going to say it because I'm going to tell you what my son, how my son reacted. He heard, when Alex said, "Free, tell me, do you mean you don't wear knee pads?" And when my son heard that, his friends said, "Oh." This is what my son told me on the phone. He was like, "Oh." And Glenn was like, "What do you mean?" His friends knew what that meant, and my son didn't even know. When they explained to him what that meant, he was upset.
Yeah,
oh, wow.
And then my phone was blowing up, and it's my son. Now, of course, when I'm on the air, I can't answer the phone unless I go to a commercial break. And I didn't take too many. We didn't take too many commercial breaks that evening, so I didn't get a chance to talk to my son until after 11 o'clock. And he was very, very upset. And I have to, you know, I said, Glenn, you can't. I said, your mom is now, you know, doing that exposes her to thousands of people, and people are going to say things about me. People are going to say things. They might come on the show and try to be disrespectful and try to, you know, try to make it seem as though they're being funny, but it's actually hurtful. I said, you know, I'm a big girl. I know how to take care of myself. And my son's comment was, well, Mom, you know, not only is he on a network, that's your friend.
Exactly.
And that's why I'm upset, because I didn't even understand what that meant until my friend told me, and it bothers me that any man would talk to you like that. And I said, you know, listen, it's entertainment, but I do understand what you're saying. I'm not supporting his comment, because I'm your mother, I'm somebody's daughter, I'm somebody's sister, I'm a friend to a lot of people, and you know, it's a comment. And you know, when we make comments, just like when we make mistakes, we have to be accountable for them. So I'm sure that at some time in the future, he and I will have. That's what I want the listeners to understand. At some point in the future, Alex and I are going to have a conversation about this, and we're going to move past it. But our conversation. I'm only doing this for the listeners because I've one of the things that the listeners said is that they feel that I should remove his show from the network because he's been disrespectful more than once. That these are the words of the listeners. These are not my words. My words will be heard directly to Alex. It'll only be for his ears and his ears only. And I appreciate Mr. Privilege, you said?
Yes.
Sorry. Mr. Privilege, passion and feeling and, you know, loving and supporting me as a sister, wanting to make sure that, you know, I'm not being wrongfully disrespected, but I assure you that it's not like that.
Okay, I understand clearly everything what you're saying, you know, but what really puzzles me, I don't want to keep this long-winded, but it's eating me up even further now that you let it be known that this is an actual plan. You know, so I'm saying to myself, what type of friend is he getting a kick out of doing this? You know, is he one of those type of people, you know, that love controversy, that, you know, brings more attention to themselves, they feel, that they have to be controversial? That's what I'm trying to figure out. And the brother won't come on.
I'm gonna answer that question with his own words because he just texted me again. And he said, all I could think of is the comment about the knee pads. And
okay,
then
that's all you could think of. Actually, you must know what it was from the beginning. That's why I said I was not going to mention. I don't have to mention nothing to you. You know what I'm saying? Just like each and every individual, if you sit down and you analyze yourself long enough, you know what you did wrong. You know what you may have said wrong. Nobody has to tell you. You're a grown man.
Okay. Well, let me finish reading his text. His text said, "Relationship Extra is for mature audiences only. Kids should not be listening. I'm a provocateur."
That still does not give him the right to say disrespectful things to you, especially. I'm not saying it's right for anybody to do it, but for someone to consider themselves a friend to you, that's very disrespectful to me, in my eyes. Very disrespectful. And I think that he should apologize to you.
Well, if he so feels that what he did was out of order, I'm sure that he'll apologize on or off the air. If he doesn't apologize, well, he doesn't apologize. I'm not going to require him to do anything because what a person gives me, I want them to give me from the heart. And any time I've ever been wrong, I don't apologize if I don't believe that what I did was wrong. Or if I feel, but I will apologize if what I said or have done maybe offended someone, and it's not my objective to do that to anyone. So I only know how I walk in my shoes. I don't walk in his shoes, and if he wants to apologize, he's more than welcome to do so. He shouldn't if he doesn't feel that he didn't do anything wrong. And in reference to Relationship Extra being a show for mature audiences, anytime that we air a show, if it's something that might be inappropriate for listeners under the age of 18, We'll have to make sure that we tell our listeners to, you know, just be mindful of the subject matter. And if you have young school-age children, they might not want to be present that evening when you're listening to the show, if you're going to be doing it on a device that has global sound. But with regards to a 15-year-old who is in his room with his friends, he supports his mother's show. It's very difficult for me to tell my son that he can't listen to a particular show. And my son is very discerning. He picks which shows he wants to actually sit there and listen to, and or what he doesn't want to listen to. The show clearly said, I'm not the messenger. If it, trust me, my 15-year-old, if it says something about sex, and he knew that it was a conversation his mother was engaged in, he would not want to be listening to it. Because I, when I have the conversation with him, it ekes him out. It ekes him out. It ekes him out for his mother to be talking about sex. So he doesn't want to participate in those conversations, believe me. We have Mr. What is your name again?
Privilege.
Please hold on. I'm bringing on another caller. That caller is calling in from 917-653. We're going to pick them up. Hey, peace and blessings. It's your girl, Bree. It's Bree Life Radio Show. You freestyling? What's your name and where are you calling from?
How can you not know who I am?
Good oh, grief. My
God. Talked yesterday. Unbelievable.
I'm sorry. Your number didn't pop up the way it usually does. This is my co-host, Red Sable.
Hi, Red.
Good evening,
how
everybody.
How you doing, Red?
I'm good. How are you? How are you? I don't know who all is on. I haven't been listening. Happy Thursday to everybody. Hope you have
happy Thursday. Time. You
same to you. Same to you. Peace and blessings.
And when Red walks into the room.
Fire.
Fire. Gonna make it hot.
Okay, Red.
Who said that? That was the show I watched, and he kept saying, make it hot. I was like, what's wrong with him?
That was Alvin. But listen.
That was me.
Red,
no,
we are
though.
Red, we're freestyling.
Yep, okay.
And we're freestyling, talking about, right now, Mr. Privilege is on the line, and he is very upset about the comments made towards me on Relationship Extra, and that was his freestyle. Do you have anything to say?
My freestyle today is an extension of last week's freestyle, which is Free Your Ass Thursday. Free your ass from the past. Let it go. Let go, let God, let live. That's it. That's my freestyle.
Okay. That's
you
it in
it.
A nutshell. Alvin, do you want to close out? I believe you had another.
I'm gonna close out with this. I just want to say that. So you know, someone told me a long time ago that you know, when you fire an arrow and you shot the arrow already, you can't just change your mind and pull it back out the sky. It's gone where it's going. You know, and that's just a lesson, because every time I listen to your show, I learn something from your show, believe it or not. And it's such a positive thing that, you know, when I listen to it, I mean, you know, when it turns into like how it turned, you know, with the negativity and stuff, that's there too. That's the way the world turns. But, you know, when you fire an arrow, sometimes it's hard, you can't just take it back. You know, that's just what I want to say, you know. We have to be mindful of others' feelings and, you know, but we have to really build a platform of respect for one another. You know, no matter what, you know, we have to go there and we have to get there. It's a road, but we can make it.
Okay. Well,
thank you for that, Alvin. We appreciate you.
I appreciate y'all. Y'all are the best. You know, this show, it's extraordinary. I'm just fascinated by it. You know, last night I enjoyed the show from last night. I was listening, you know, because it broadens my world. It opens up a lot of things for me, things that I might not think about. This show has showed me to start thinking a lot more.
Well, you are my astrological brother, so I already know how you think, being an Aquarian myself. So I understand where you're coming from. You want to right all wrongs, and you're very humanitarian and all that great stuff, which is why you love as hard as you do when you fly on planes to go to Singapore. I didn't get it until you told me that you were an Aquarian. And now that I know, I get it. Now I get it. Now I totally get it. So you are my brother. I appreciate you.
Thank you, Red.
Stand up and want to champion for everybody. You know, but I will say this, is that everybody's fight is not everybody's fight.
That's true. That's
okay?
True.
And I say that with all the love in my heart to everyone that's listening. Everybody's fight is not everybody's fight. Period.
That's
okay,
right.
Whatever that's code for, but I am going to... I'm going to tell you all what my freestyle tonight is. My freestyle tonight is piggybacking off of something that I have said from the very beginning of the Bree Life Radio show when we aired in January of this year. And that is that men and women need to learn how to communicate more effectively, and they definitely have to start with the willingness to communicate. I have in the past been guilty of not being a good communicator, because when you have strong views, and I say this in love, you know, even with my brother Alex, having very strong views, a person with strong views are not always popular. Or they're popular, or sometimes you could be popular with strong views. Whoever's moving around, I need you to either stay still or put the phone on mute.
That ain't me.
Me either.
It sounds like somebody's chomping or chewing or whatever that is. I don't know what that is.
Okay. When I have been labeled as being confrontational and controversial, it was because I was very strong in my views, especially when I was in my 20s. I had definite, strong opinions about a lot of things. And being my mother's daughter, being my father's daughter, how I conveyed my message was very strong and direct. But at the time, I had to be strong and direct with certain people, because when I was talking with my inside voice, it seemed like, you know, the sound waves could not penetrate the plastic bag that seemed to be over their head. So I had to talk with the outside voice, because I was getting frustrated because I wasn't being heard with the inside voice. So, but in time, I had to learn how to communicate more effectively. And at the end of the day, what I learned is that I don't have to be the loudest voice in the room to be heard. So that's my freestyle. You know, we have to learn how to communicate with one another effectively and do it in such a way that we can agree to disagree, but we don't have to hurt each other, and we don't have to disrespect one another, and we can be in the moment and be present and walk away still loving one another. That's my freestyle. I want to be able to part from an individual still loving them and them still loving me. That's Bree's freestyle for this Thursday.
Wow, good nice.
A good piece. You need a whole lot of other people that think like that as well. It'd be a better place.
Yes, it would be. Yes, it would be. Since we're all pretty much from the tri-state area, I know Mr. Privilege is from the Maryland area, but as a matter of fact, could you tell us, have you where you are? Did you receive any like residual effects from this Hurricane Sandy?
Well, me, I feel like I'm gonna always feel the effects because of the simple fact that what hurts you is gonna hurt me regardless. You understand where I'm coming from? I feel for the people everywhere, not even in the United States. You know, a lot of people are not thinking about what happened over in the island. You know, they suffered effects that are not talked about or mediated like they are here over in the States. So, yeah, so, you know, it's not that bad in the Maryland area. You know, I'm getting calls and texts, people fighting over gas in Long Island and all kind of craziness. It's like Mad Max and the Thunderdome out there right now. But, you know,
it is.
All I can say is, you know, we just got to stand strong and hopefully everything will get back to normal soon, you know. But as far as effects, yes, it affected me because it affected everybody else. I can't ignore it and act like it doesn't exist. You understand where I'm coming from?
Mm-hmm.
So, on that note, I must say it affected me.
Well, I just want to say, you know, I know, and you know, that's so interesting that you would say Mad Max or the Thunderdome, because my motorcycle's name is Mad Max. And I wish I was riding Mad Max today, because I got to tell you, I was scavenging for gas that I still have not acquired. I almost did not make it back to Carroll Street.
Oh, wow.
I'm telling you, I was on vapor. I'm still on vapors. I don't know where to get the gas. I drove around for like an hour to different gas stations in the surrounding Crown Heights neighborhoods, and I can't find no gas. So for those who are listening to the sound of my voice, if you're here in New York, if you're here in BK, email your girl. Get in the chat room. Call me, 424-220-1862, and tell me where can I get some gas.
Hey,
Red, how is it up where you are?
You hear me, right?
I'm sorry?
I said, you hear me, right? I'm saying, Lord, Lord, Lord.
Yeah. Where are you? Not where are you, but how are things where you are?
It's a little grim, but you know, I live in the hood, so hood's gonna do what it's gonna do. It could be 10 damn hurricanes, and they'll still be out there on the street fighting, screaming, yelling, and selling that stuff. But I'm taking it all in stride and trying to keep me and my family safe. That's all I'm doing. Trying to take every positive moment that I can and spin it into something that's worth getting up in the morning for, because sometimes it can be real grim. But I'm good. I'm blessed. My kids are blessed. We're fine. We're just doing what we got to do. My son went to the store earlier and was propositioned to go, I don't know, they're trying to sell him some stuff. Now, my son's not like that. So he's going to try to preach at you when you come at him like that. So he had to try to school a couple of brothers on the corner. And I was trying to explain to my son, who is 6'2", 23, and look like he just stepped out of the Chris Brown video. But you can't talk to certain people because they won't receive you well, and I do not want you being jumped again. So please don't preach. Please just let them do whatever the hell they're going to do, and you just keep it walking, keep it moving. People say, Ma, they should be respecting their lives and respecting their bodies. I don't understand. We just came out of something. They should be grateful to be here. Can they just put that down for a day or two? I mean, really? Really? And I told him he had to let it go. So that's why I have this constant thing on my brain about letting go. Let go, let live. Because you can't, you cannot change the mindset of everybody. You cannot fight everybody's fight. You cannot, you just can't. And you preaching at these young brothers standing on the corner, selling whatever they're selling, you don't know what their life is or what they're doing or why they're doing what they're doing. And really, do you really want to know? So you need to let it go. So that's
okay.
What you have away on me.
So, Mr. Privilege, what do you think about the concept, since you are our resident guest tonight? What do you think about the concept of letting go and letting live?
Well, that's a good concept, because if you don't let go, it's just going to eat you alive. You know what I'm saying? And when you dwell on things and hold things inside, grudges or whatever have you, that's just going to eat you up. And then, to me, it makes you no better than the person that you might be angry with, or the situation that you might be angry with or disappointed with. So I agree it's a healthy method to keep yourself going. No need in dwelling on this, that, and the other, you know. You got to be willing and strong enough to change the things that you can change and accept the things that you can't change.
I feel
where Red is coming from, and, you know, I got a lot of respect for your son, but I also know where you're coming from as a mother and your worries and the safety for your child. So, you know, I understand exactly where she's coming from as well, you know?
I appreciate you, Mr. Privilege.
And Alvin. Alvin, where are you at with the whole let go and let live?
No, I'm with Red on that, you know, because she has to, you know, because the way, you know, her son is, you know, he's putting forth his heart, and he just wants to see the people in the world do better, and I can understand that, you know, but at the same time, this world is very turbulent, and you know, he's putting out a positive message. Some people don't want to deal with a positive message. They only have, some people have one way of doing things, and that they're going to do what they're going to do. But she, you know, as a mother, she can't, he can't put himself at risk for, you know, because he has to be there for maybe her future grandchildren and for his future. You know, she has to protect his future first. Those ones that are out there doing what they're doing, they have to one day turn around and look at what they're doing. You know, they got to take responsibility, you know, because there's cause and effect for all of that. And down the road, you know, you don't know what that might be. But, you know, they have to change. But obviously, you know, as strong as her son is, to turn around and say, he's letting them know in a way, that's the voice saying that this is unacceptable.
Mm.
It's not acceptable. So that, you know, even if he says something up for the second, they still heard it, and that's all it took. Mm-hmm. Once you hear it, you heard it, that's it. Because that might have been sent for them, and for only for them to hear it. You know, and now, you know, and now she's the voice for him to protect her son, to let him know, listen, you know, you delivered it, that's that. You know, and that's what it is. Because this world is, you know, these people out here are crazy. They don't, it's like great. They do, and they don't think before they do. It's like attack, and then, you know, you can't function like that. You can't, and then, you know what, you know, I'm watching the news and I'm looking at all the stuff that's going on. I'm like, you know, you got to think about tomorrow. You can't just, you know, you're fighting over gasoline. You're fighting over, you know, you got to look at what you, come on, you're in a dumpster looking for food. You know, I mean,
Yes, which is something that I also saw on television today. There's a Key Food in Manhattan. I'm not quite sure where the Key Food was, but they had discarded food into a dumpster outside. And I guess a day or two later now, people are scavenging in that dumpster for food. And my concern is that one of the reasons why the food could have been discarded was because it touched the water that came into the supermarket, which is contaminated.
Mm.
And and people are, I saw people taking Intamin boxes of cupcakes and cakes and stuff, and this is stuff that was in a dumpster for a day or two. Now, here's a question for everybody, and nobody still has given me the answer to this, but can somebody please tell me where all the rats that was in the subway stations went to when
they
the water
somewhere.
Started coming in?
No, they probably
they
drowned.
Went somewhere.
I hope. Good God. They probably drowned. I mean, I'm hoping they drowned. Could you imagine? Could you imagine that? And see, this is the writer in me because I'm a writer, and this is what I do. This is why I don't watch scary movies because my mind just goes all over the place. It is my fear that those damn things would be eating whatever they've been swimming in and become big bins. And now we are being chased down the street by rats as big as elephants. Like, come on. So I don't want to know where they went. I hope they all drown because I have a phobia. I can't stand rats or mice or any creepy crawling anything. So,
I'm with you, Red, but those things are so tough after looking at them in the subway. I think those things could withstand anything because those things, it's almost like they are steroids.
Oh,
yeah, they're immune to a lot of germs and disease. Crazy.
I can't.
So wherever they went, I hope they drowned. I'm with you too, but I don't know. That's an odds thing.
And I must have been thinking about, I mean, rodents must have been is somewhere in my subconscious as a concern because I took a nap this afternoon and had a nightmare about three raccoons and a rat.
Mm.
I really, if there's anyone out there that interprets dreams, drop a line to your girl Bree at BreeLifeRadio@gmail.com and please tell me what that means.
I don't know. Somebody's about to tell your business and it's going to stink. That's what it means.
You say what? But
somebody's about to tell your business and it's going to be stink.
That's what three raccoons and a rat mean?
That's my interpretation because raccoons smell. And rat, another way of saying a rat is a guy who's snitching and telling and that kind of thing. So that's my interpretation.
Mm, okay.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Play Red theme again because that was fire. Oh, wow. For real. Wow. Oh, wow. Yeah. Oh, wow. Yeah. Oh, man.
Because a rat is a big mouthful, and raccoons, those things smell. They're all just breeding stink mongrels. So.
Well, the good thing about my business, I tell it myself. So I'm not really concerned about anybody telling my business because I tell it and I tell the truth. So if anyone wants to tell my business or tell my story, I just hope they make sure that they're accurate because my story is in black and white and can be proven. So
made a rat be drowned in the subway water from whatever
that
leftover.
Rat drowned.
Yeah. Ugh. Can we switch subjects? I can't. I'll be dreaming about rats now.
Okay. Wait, you know what? Why don't we ask our guest panelist, Mr. Privilege, what other freestyle do you have tonight?
Well, right now, you know, my mind is still stuck on things getting back to normal after this hurricane. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Well, actually, it wasn't even a hurricane. It was a, thank God it wasn't a hurricane when it touched land. Because if it was a hurricane, it would be a whole lot worse soon. You know, I'm just trying to figure out when will things get back to normal and how will things get back to normal. Because, you know, like I said, it's affecting everybody in one way or another. You know,
mm-hmm.
you got people driving out to Jersey, you know, trying to get gas and all types of crazy stuff going on. You know, my main concern is, you know, what's going to happen with the people. At first, I'm like, why is everybody worried about gas? But then I had to, you know, think there's people that, due to the circumstances, it doesn't really matter. They're forced to have to find the best way that they can find to work to pay their bills. You know what I'm saying? You got some bosses that some employers that's not trying to hear, oh, well, I can't make it work. I just feel for the people that...
Well, unless you have a magic carpet to hover over the daggone quadruple lines wrapped around the Barclays Center twice to try to get to work. I really don't know how we're going to manage, because this is something that I think we as New Yorkers really took for granted, how this storm was really going to affect our mass transit system, which is one of the largest mass transit systems in the world.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they I don't see how they're going to have the trains fully functional by Monday. There's hundreds of millions of billions of gallons of water to be pumped out of the tunnels. And there aren't enough buses to accommodate all of the people that have to travel around the city.
I guess
so,
that's why you have a lot of people driving, trying to drive.
Mm-hmm. And you can't do that unless you're carpooling. You must have, for those listeners that have power for the last few days and think that they're going to get in their car and go over a bridge or through a tunnel, you have to have have 3 or more people in your vehicle
in order
to go over a major thoroughway.
Mm-hmm.
So although it's good for cutting down on cost, you know, for the toll, it's not always optimal too, because it's a little scary. You know, there are some common areas before you get to these bridges and tunnels, how would someone, you know, I can't see just letting any old stranger in my vehicle and I'm carrying them over a bridge or through a tunnel.
Nah,
it's just a little scary to me. I don't know. What say you all?
I say you too pretty for that. They might lose their mind. Like the rest of your fan.
Forever flirting. I don't
Stay
know.
Cool, man.
I mean, yes, you. Do you want
love,
to love me, sweetie?
She's beautiful. I adore her. I adore her.
Every week. We already know.
But hey, you never know. I might go up on a building, get blown off the building. You see cranes fall down and hang off the building. You know what I'm saying? I might be a crane operator. You never know. So I got to tell her now. You never know.
Okay. Well, Thank you very much, Alvin, for the continuous love and support that you show me.
You're welcome. I'm a fan.
Oh, my goodness. I don't know about the whole traveling with strangers, you know, across the bridge or through the tunnels. What do you think, Red? Do you drive?
No. I live in New York, honey.
Mm-mm. Okay.
No, I don't drive.
I live
drive.
In New York, too.
I know, but you drive.
I don't. Well, I'm going to tell you, honestly, I don't like riding on the train. I do not like being underground after 9/11. It took me about 8 years to ride a subway again.
It never bothered me to be on trains and mass transit or nothing like that, and I'd rather walk. And it's probably because when I was younger, I was in a real bad accident, in a car accident with a taxi cab and another car and stuff. So ever since then, I've just had this pain against driving because it just freaks me out. So I just can't. But to get back to the question, I have no idea. They said they were going to be making provisions. I have no idea how they're going to get things up and running. They do have limited service for certain trains. Brooklyn is pretty messy, so I don't know how they're going to fix that within the next 3 days. But for the rest of the boroughs, they have made a little bit of stride in that area of having limited train service and connecting bus services and things like that. I was watching the news earlier, and there was a lot of people who were complaining that it was taking them 3 hours just to get on a bus to try to get to work after being on a train for another hour and then have to turn around and then go back home. So a lot of people were just calling their bosses and saying, it's just not going to happen. So you're going to fire me, you're just going to fire me, because I have no idea how I'm going to get there and then have to turn around and get back home safely as well. So it's going to be real interesting to see what's going to happen in the next couple of weeks, because this is going to be an ongoing thing.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. Definitely. And I have to tell you very honestly, I was traveling home in my vehicle at around 6:30, 7 o'clock as I was trying to find some gas. And people are walking the streets looking just crazy, looking stressed out and everything.
Yeah.
And you know, when you think about, you know, the end of the world and stuff like that, what it's going to look like, I'm telling you, it gave me a very eerie feeling. People in New York, we know that we're challenged with, you know, how some folks here drive.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we have a horrendous opinion of us in terms of our warmness or lack thereof. But people are really looking stressed out and acting real just out of order. Stepping out in the street, they're not looking where they're going, they're driving crazy. I mean, it's not good. My cousin, who happens to be a taxi cab driver, called me this afternoon and said, yo, I almost got in a fight today. I said, what are you talking about? He said, I'm on the line to get gas at the gas station, and this guy, people are trying to jump in front of you on the line. They saying, yeah, my car, is about to run out, I got to get in front of you, else my car will turn off. And, you know, just people are just, like, they're just not able to think straight under this kind of stress. And, again, like I said, you know, especially with our mass transit system, there was no preparation for this. What could have possibly been done to prevent the subways from flooding?
Well, there was no preparation for 9/11 either. okay, and because of what happened in 9/11, and now here we go with this particular situation, there are a lot of people walking around here who still had mental breakdowns from what happened on 9/11. And now here we go with the hurricane, and people are seeing boats float up onto the ground and boardwalks being floated across the street and their houses being drowned underwater. Like, the mental capacity of those people with that trauma coupled with this, my state of mind just seeing stuff like that is only making me more leery of the person standing next to me who can go off at any second for the slightest little thing, which is why I said to my son, don't chastise people in the street, leave them alone, because you have no idea what they're thinking. You just don't. And I can't take it. I cannot bury another person. I just can't do it. So that's my fear. My fear is not that they're fighting over gas. It's that they are fighting, period, over whatever. It could be a piece of bread. It could be any old thing. It could be you looked at me funny.
Yeah,
it could be I don't like the way
you
said hello. It could be anything, because we have been through way too much trauma as it is. And then you coupling it with more trauma. No one is healing over whatever's going on. Then this is the holiday season, so you got that compiled on top of it. Boom, there's another incident. Then you have people who are dealing with whatever they're going home to. Pile that on. They don't have jobs. Pile that on. There's little money, no food. Pile that on. Now they don't have homes because of a disaster, and no one is trying to help them. Well, pile that on too.
Yeah, you're right.
That's what we were talking
about. Another 12 years of democracy, and I don't think that it's not going to happen. You know, it's sad but true, and everybody's looking at, oh, you know, of course the people that are against Obama. Oh, he's not doing anything. That's like telling a child to clean up a mansion in 5 minutes. You know, after you mess it up. You know, we still suffering from the Bushes, the father and son. This is the outcome, you know, what we're seeing now. You know, they've been stealing and robbing and pillaging, you know, right in front of our face. And
I just don't know how much more we can take. That's all I'm saying.
Well, it's my sincere hope that for all of the people who have been displaced, who have lost everything, that our local municipalities, our state and federal government stands up for those individuals and they get the much needed assistance that, you know, we have to give it to them. We have to do it expediently. We can't do another thing. No, we cannot keep people. What is that noise?
I have no idea.
Not me.
We can't keep people in schools, because the schools are going to have to open up probably once our mass transit returns to full to its full operating capacity. We're going to have to reopen a lot of these schools that have housed and that will be housing, you know, displaced individuals until they can be sent to shelters and other alternative housing locations. And we have to do – I'm really hoping that they get up on their game and, you know, stop – I don't want to see – I really don't particularly care to see – Mayor Bloomberg or anybody else on television. I want them to be in their war rooms trying to figure out solutions to help and sign off executive orders to get the funding to help these people, not now, but right now.
Yeah, before some type of anarchy rules the streets and we have mobs of people just losing their minds.
Well, you know, here's my feeling, and I want to turn it over to both Alvin and Mr. Privilege and ask them what they think about that. As I was on my way coming home from, like I said, trying to find gas and not being able to locate it, I feel at this point, if there's no gas, people shouldn't really be in, if there's no gas and there's no transportation, then people shouldn't be in the street. And I think
exactly.
at this point, I think at this point they should
do
martial law. There should be a curfew. People shouldn't be roaming around the street.
Yeah, they should just stand down.
That's true.
Because they're not helping the situation. Because if you got other things going out there, you got first responders moving around. You know, and they can't. You're hindering the people that really need help. That could be a hindrance.
And
you know, all these extra cars. All these extra cars in the street for where are you going? Because you can't really be going anywhere. Not with after this aftermath. You know, unless it's to a family member, but you got to use some type of common sense. Like you can't just be riding around, even the walking around. What is that for? You know,
exactly.
I mean, how much more air can you get than a hurricane coming through here? You know, you can't. You know, you got to know when to stand down. But they're out there doing it. They're out there walking around. You know, I know it's frustrating. I understand that. But come on, I mean, even I'm not out there just walking around in the street. I've been watching the news and stuff, looking at what's going on, because that's important. Because it seems like it's changing every day.
Hmm.
Exactly.
What do you think, Mr. Privilege?
Well, you know, I had my eyes glued to the TV for the past couple of days as far as the hurricane, you know, was concerned. And like the brother said, you know, people out in the street for no reason at all. You know, if anything, you're just causing more problems for the people that's out there to help. You understand where I'm coming from? Because you're putting yourself in harm's way when you should just be at home. You know, they even said something on the news about one guy, I think it was in New York or New Jersey, actually going swimming and turning up missing.
I'm sorry,
you know,
say that again?
They even said something about one particular guy, an incident where a guy went swimming and turned up missing the night
okay.
of the hurricane.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's common sense. You know, you out here playing around with Mother Nature. You know, you don't know what Mother Nature is going to bring. You don't need to be in the streets. Cool.
Like, well, I have another personal freestyle, and it's something that happened to me today. And it just was very disheartening. When I got back to my respective block, I was waiting for a woman to come out of her parking spot. And directly across the street, we have a brownstone that's being rehabbed, and that person has this huge dumpster on the block. So I'm double parked parallel to the dumpster, and traffic is coming behind me. And anyone who knows what Carroll Street looks like, it's not the widest block in Crown Heights. And because the dumpster sticks out wider than the average car or truck, being double parked on the opposite side of the street from it leaves a more of a narrow space for cars to pass by. So I back up three cars back to give adequate space for the cars to go around me. And not too far away, so when the woman comes out of the space, I can go into it. Well, here comes this Maxima and sees the woman also coming out of the space. And then he starts backing up and attempts to try to go into the space. Now, oh boy, here's my freestyle. So I'm honking the horn. The person is looking at me, and he's a neighbor. And he's not particularly one of my favorite people in the world, but he is my brother, and you know, I don't hate him. But you know, we don't really have too much dialogue. Well, anyway, he insists that he's going to get in his spot. So what does Bree do? Bree tries to use the voice of reason. She gets out of the car and says, "Hi, didn't you see that? Do you see that I'm trying to get in the spot?" He was like, "No, you wasn't. You're way down the block. You were way down the block." I said, "Now, I'm way down the block. I'm going to race all the way up the block and try to get in the spot?" No. I was three cars back, and I was just moving to the side because the dumpster is across the street, and there's not enough space. This man, and I use that term very, I'm stretching, this man gave me word for word instead of just saying, because I didn't approach him aggressively, because how would that be? Listen, we do live in New York. I wouldn't be getting out of my car if I didn't know this person. I would have probably just let it go. But because I knew him, he's my neighbor, I felt that I could have some dialogue with him and say, "Hey, you know," and the reason why I didn't feel like circling around the block for a parking space, because I knew I had to air the show on time. So I'm like, "Hey, I was waiting for the spot. Maybe you didn't see me in this big white truck, but I was waiting for the spot." And he gave me back and forwards. I'm just like, come on, really? Can these brothers help a sister out? What is going on?
What is going on is the lack of respect. That's what's going on. Ignorance. Because if you don't see it, you drive, you see a big white truck waiting for a parking space, you don't see it, and you're going to try and cut it and take the space. Ignorance. That's what's going on.
Even if the brother didn't see it, you know, he should take your word. If you happen to be neighbors, if I happen to live on the block with you and I'm coming up the street and I see, you know, I'm coming up to a park and you pull up and you're like, "You didn't see me?" "Oh, no." Go ahead, take the park. There's no reason to go back and forth. Basically, what he was doing was wasting his time and wasting your time. In the end, whoever ended up with the parking space, the time that was wasted could have been utilized to find an extra parking space.
Now, you know what? And, Red, I want to know what you think, too. But I was sitting here looking at pictures of my friends on Facebook, and I was like, you know what? Thinking that I could be the voice of reason, I could have wound up a statistic.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think about that? Because I was also thinking about what you said about your son and just to not engage with these people.
Don't. Exactly. Don't do it. It's not worth it. It's really not, because you don't know the mindset of that individual. You have no idea what they came out, sat in that car, and had weighing on their heart, their head. You have no idea. So I wouldn't have argued, and this is exactly one of the reasons why I don't drive. People walking around here with road rage issues. He felt in his heart that he had every right to take that spot, and you don't care who you were. You could have been his mother, and he still would have been saying, "I know this is my spot." So I would have just let him keep the spot, because I got to live. I'm sorry. I have to live. I'm not going to fight over things that I know that may put me or could perceive me to be confrontational. So now they're thinking that they have to defend themselves. And next thing I know, I'm all busted up or worse, all because of a simple misunderstanding that could have been avoided. So that's my take on it. And then they seem like, no, she's just avoiding it. She's just punking out. I'm nobody's punk.
No,
but I know how to fight my fight. I know how to fight, when to fight, and when, and what battles to choose. So that's why I just did to certain things I just would let go, because I'm trying to see tomorrow, God willing, and every other day after that.
Yeah.
But That's just being wise, Red, you know, because like you said, there's a lot of ignorant. I mean, this generation, I call them the Y generation, you know.
Mm-hmm.
You don't know why they do what they do, you know. They just out here. They don't have no guidance whatsoever. They're not looking for guidance. They're not trying to get any guidance. They're just trying to do what they want to do. They don't even know what they're doing. You understand where I'm coming from?
Absolutely.
Everybody want to be a gangster. Everybody want to be a hard rock, so on and so forth, until, you know, things hit the fan, and then they sit behind that wall. It's a totally different ballgame, you know?
Oh, yeah. And I face it all the time. And they don't care anymore. And it's funny because I've been approached by girls because I look really young for my age. Step to me like I'm one of their girlfriends. I'm not going to fight nobody's child because that's who they are to me. They're my kid's age. So I'm not going to fight you. Are you kidding? So I'm just going to let it go because obviously you are in pain. And I'm strong enough and perceptive enough to know that somebody is not listening to you and loving you correctly. For you to come as someone's mother like you are right now, something is wrong with you, but I'm not going to let you use me to correct your situation. So I have to learn how to let a lot of things go. And that goes for every situation. I have to think 2-3 times in this day because I have no idea what the hell I'm going to face every time I walk out my door. Who's going to be acting crazy for whatever reason? I was getting off the bus. This woman was getting on the bus from the back door, bumps into me, practically knocks me down, and screams and yells at me because she's telling me I should know to get the F out of her way. So I was like,
wow.
At first, I thought, oh, no, she's not talking to me. Who the fuck? And then I said, you know what? Because I looked at her again, and I saw blank crazy in her eyes. And I said, you know what? Don't say nothing. Let it go. Because you and her will be fighting on the ground. All because she bumped into you because she's trying to sneak on the damn bus. So.
Just, you know, I just want us. I just feel tonight I'm like drained. I'm like really drained from a lot of discussion this week about respect and the lack thereof we have for one another. You know, I'm a woman of color. I've lived in New York most of my life. I've lived other places. But and I feel I'm not perfect. I'm deeply flawed. But the one thing that I don't do, I don't go around hurting people and I don't go around disrespecting them. And I feel because I walk the way that I walk, that I'm warranted the respect that I give other people, you know? Now, that might be a high expectation, and I know there are those that feel that a lot of my expectations, especially of men, are too high. But I refuse to lower my standard of who I should share time and space with, or even who I should interact with casually and indirectly. You know, I walk in a manner that warrants and should foster respect. That's all I want. And when I don't get it, it's really very disheartening to me. I don't care if people label me as being, oh, I'm emotional, she's a typical woman. No, I'm just a human being that wants respect. And I feel that he went too far. And I also feel I'm going to take a level of accountability on my own because I took for granted that this was my neighbor and that he was going to be mindful. Once I walked up to the car and he saw that it was Sabrina, you know, that he was going to be reasonable. How many neighbors have killed their neighbor
okay?
That you would never think that, you know, there was ever any problem between them, or, oh, that guy was so nice. I don't know what would make him do such an awful thing, you know?
He was quiet. He said good morning to everybody.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, watch.
Yeah.
I have a saying that I came up with. The menu is always subject to change. Nothing remains the same. As soon as you get used to something, it can switch up on you in the end. So, you
mm-hmm.
know, with that type of mind frame, that keeps you from being shocked, caught off guard, surprised. You know, you just got to keep it in mind. Nothing surprises you, you know. Anybody mm-hmm. and anything can change at any given moment.
Absolutely.
That'll help you understand the people in all types of situations that you might go through, you know, not
uh-huh.
only in the course of a day, but through your life, you know. Because if you sit thinking, oh, if you think everybody's going to be the way that you want them to be or the way that you are, you already know the answer to that.
Uh-huh. Well,
gotta be the good with the bad, the pretty with the ugly, you know?
Well, at this time, I want to thank everyone for their participation tonight. I want to also thank all the listeners. I want to thank my co-host, Red, and my guest co-host, Alvin, for keeping me company this evening, and Mr. Privilege calling us from Bowie, Maryland. Thank you for taking the time to experience Bree Life. I appreciate you listening to our shows, having the history of listening to our shows and listening so closely in the manner in which you do. And I appreciate you having my back. And I want to assure you that Bree Life Radio, we love to have provocative dialogue and to provoke peripheral thought, and we're going to continue to do that. Even when we don't agree, we can agree to disagree. So I love you all on purpose. Have a great week, and peace and love.
Love
good night,
you
all.
Good night.
Thank you.
Good night.
Good night,
everybody. Peace and blessings,
right.
Everyone.
Same to you. Good night.
Good night.
Good night.